And the first weddings under the ACT's same-sex marriage laws will be held this Saturday. And amongst them, Glenda Lloyd, she'll be there. As she told us earlier, she's planning to exchange vows with her longtime partner, Jennifer.
The two of us will have witnesses, we'll have a celebrant, there'll be music, there'll be vows and rings. So, yes, it will really just be like everybody else because we feel just like everybody else. You know, we just are loving and committed to each other.
But loving and committed couple that they are, Glenda and Jennifer, are suffering more than just pre-wedding jitters because there's a chance the nation's highest court will call the big day off. The ACT's Marriage Equality Same-Sex Act is being challenged in the High Court by the Commonwealth on the grounds it's unconstitutional. Anne Toomey is Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney. And good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
And there'll be 2 days of hearing starting today. What's the High Court being asked to determine in this case?
Okay, the first thing to know is that it's not being asked to determine whether people should be able to, whether same-sex couples should be able to marry. It's got nothing really to do with issues of equality or human rights or any of those sorts of things. What it's really about is a technical issue about whether the ACT's law is inconsistent with a Commonwealth law.
So on that then, can you give us a very sort of brief and simple outline of the Commonwealth's case?
Okay, so the Commonwealth says that its Marriage Act was intended to cover the entire field of marriage, of all types of marriage. Now, the Marriage Act actually says that a marriage is only between a man and a woman. So the ACT comes along and says, well, the Commonwealth Marriage Act only covers the field of opposite-sex marriage, and that leaves open for us the field of same-sex marriage. So essentially the issue is, does the Commonwealth law completely cover the field of marriage or not? And if it doesn't, does that allow then the ACT to legislate in there or not? And there's also another technical argument that only affects the ACT, and that is that the ACT's rules about inconsistency of laws arguably don't extend as far as the rules do in all the other jurisdictions. So that even if the Commonwealth covers the field in relation to marriage in all other jurisdictions, there's an argument that that test doesn't apply in the ACT, and as long as its laws aren't directly inconsistent with the Commonwealth laws, the ACT laws could survive, in which case you'd only be allowed to have same-sex marriage in the ACT and nowhere else in Australia.
Okay, though I guess it's worth pointing out the other states are not a party to this case. So the ACT is putting up a number of arguments to defend its law, but its primary defence is that one, that it is not in contravention of the Commonwealth law because Commonwealth law states that marriage is between a man and a woman and it's doing something completely different to that. But it's still called a Marriage Act, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's one of the awkward sort of problems with this because on the one hand, the ACT is calling its act about marriage equality and saying that the marriage that you have under the ACT legislation is effectively equal to or the same as the Commonwealth, but at law, that's precisely what it can't do. So, you know, in order to be able to maintain the ACT law as valid, you've got to show that what you're creating is a separate institution. It's not the same as marriage. And so you have the irony of the Australian marriage equality people coming in and arguing, actually, this is not equality. They're arguing that same-sex marriage is an institution completely different from, separate to marriage, not equal to marriage.
Which is exactly counter to the public argument, I suppose, that this is all about equity.
Even the name of the Act. So you've got a Marriage Equality Act, which it's being argued does not give marriage equality, because if it did give marriage equality, then it would be invalid.
Mm. I guess the phrase equal but different comes to mind. And you've looked at this closely with your critical legal eye. Who do you believe has the strongest case? What do you expect the outcome to be?
I think it's a really hard one to call. You know, even doing the tea leaf reading, I just don't know how the High Court would want to go, and that's obviously going to influence things too. There are legal arguments. There's enough wriggle room to move in either direction if the High Court wants to do so. I think that, you know, from a technical, orthodox argument point of view, I think the Commonwealth's got the stronger argument. I think the ACT's got the weaker argument. The ACT does have this odd little bizarre point about different inconsistency rules in the ACT, and heaven only knows how that's going to play. But from the point of view of same-sex marriage advocates, it would seem sort of a bit absurd in the end that you could only be married in the ACT and if that marriage was only valid in the ACT, and once you left the ACT, it didn't mean anything. Well, at least not legally. You know, that's a possibility, but, you know, I've had to put money on it. I put my money on the Commonwealth, but I think it's a fairly close bet either way at the moment.
So what you're saying is if it was looking at a technical orthodox argument, the court might rule or would more likely rule in the favour of the Commonwealth, but looking at the court and the makeup of the court, can we draw any conclusion from that, that it might be inclined to take these other kind of equality human rights arguments into account, even though they're not before the court?
Well, put it this way, there's enough arguments in there on a technical ground that you could get either side up if you wanted to, on perfectly orthodox reasoning. So I think there's plenty of room there for High Court judges effectively to decide on an outcome that they believe, perhaps suits their wishes. I think in the end, you know, from a High Court judge's point of view, although this is being staged as an issue about same-sex marriage, the actual legal issues in this are not about same-sex marriage. They're actually about, you know, rules about inconsistency. And those rules have a much wider significance in relation to all sorts of other things as well.
Yes.
So from a High Court point of view, you want to keep your rules about inconsistency, you know,
consistent
and orthodox and all the rest of it, and rather than getting involved in playing games about, you know, same-sex marriage and what the political answer should be. I mean, in the end, this is a matter for parliaments, not the courts, to decide.
Okay. And just to finish up, there are a number of same-sex weddings planned in the ACT for this Saturday. Do you think the High Court could issue an injunction to prevent any marriages this weekend?
The interesting thing is that the High Court agreed to schedule this hearing very quickly. So they're obviously conscious of trying to get some sort of a decision or some sort of an outcome before people start marrying under the legislation. So there's a couple of possibilities about how you might do that. One might be that if the judges after the hearing all feel confident that they're going to decide a particular way, they might announce the actual outcome of the decision and then give their reasoning sometime later. So that's a possibility. It's also possible that they might, seek from the parties some sort of guarantee that things won't go ahead until the decision's made. As some people suggested, there is a possibility that there could be an injunction. But I think if the court was going to go any particular way on this, they'd be more likely to try and come out with an early announcement of what the outcome would be, and then it may take, 6 months or so before we get the actual reasons.
Okay, and Toomey, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was a terrific synopsis of what's ahead for the High Court. Constitutional lawyer Professor Anne Toomey joining us from the University of Sydney.